Shalom LaYehudim, Shalom LaBnei Noach, Shalom LaGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Ches B'Chodesh Kislev, Parashas Vayetze, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 19 November 2015, webcasting from the Holy Land that drives men mad. Drives them to the point of suicide. Unfortunately, this morning in Tel Aviv, a would-be Muslim suicide was denied his wish when, after lightly stabbing a Jew at the entrance to a shul and powerfully enough two other Jews to end their lives, he was surely expecting his own death, but was disappointed when some other Jews captured him and held onto him until the police came to take him away. How sad for him, how sad for us that this evening and tomorrow, for sure, we Jews will pay this man's lodging, give him food and drink and a blanket and a bed, when he should have been killed on the spot. And then late this afternoon, at the ever-popular for murderers Gush Etzion junction in Judea, popular among these homicidal Muslim maniacs, two more Jews were murdered. An Arab bystander was also slain. Several other people were wounded. And I think the two Ishmaelites doing the shooting were brought down. I'm not sure of the details at this point. And all I can say is, oy! This is not the Judenstadt Herr Herzl envisioned. Well, what I would like to see within the next 24 hours is the closest relatives of these terrorists arrested and taken to Gaza and pushed through a gate and then locked the gate behind them. Would the enlightened scream? Of course. What else is new? Everything we do is wrong. It's always disproportionate, a violation of human rights. Another instance of the Jews abusing the victims of their racist national liberation movement. On my book's Amazon page, if you click on the first volume's comments, there are 25 of them. The last one on the page, the comments page, is a rant by a lunatic anti-Jew. His initial comment a few weeks or months ago already was up there first, but after a friend and subscriber complained for me to Amazon, it was deleted. I think the two of my responses to his first comment, that is no longer available, are still there. He called my book a cheap Zionist propaganda or something like that. Now he has posted a much longer rant. The first one, no longer there, used the term racist or racism four times that I counted. In this one, he uses it only twice, but it's clear this is the problem. Zionism is racism. And as much as this deranged man is a pain in the keister, I'm grateful to him for teaching me something about Jew hatred. When anti-Jews say Zionism is racism, it really is a protest against the very existence of the Jewish people. I believe I have in the past at least once mentioned a now ex-friend, an English Gentile, and his wife, who he once told me, a fine fellow by the way, and not with malice, he was trying to explain why his fellow Englishmen hate Jews, and he said, "You lot stick together." And that, I believe, is in the black heart of the Zionism is racism expression, so characteristic of our time. For millennia, Jew hatred was the deicide charge. You Jews, all of you are guilty for the murder of a Jewish carpenter from Nazareth, who also happened to be God. Today, though, the deicide charge is passé, hardly ever heard anymore, except among the most marginal of lunatic skinheads. In its place, we have the politically correct and acceptable expression Zionism is racism. Zionists are racists who every day oppress and humiliate the ancient Palestinians whose land they stole from them because they are racists. What's being said is what my ex-friend in London said. It's a protest against the very existence of the Jewish nation, the Jewish collective. And I think that's so because every anti-Jew knows the plain and simple fact that 3,000 years ago there was a Jewish people, and legions of other peoples and communities, there were Egyptians and Persians, Phoenicians, Philistines, Canaanites, but not one of those is alive today, and the Jews are. 2,000 years ago, there were Greeks and Romans and Carthaginians and Franks and Vandals, Goths and Visigoths, later on Byzantines, and the Jews, and again, all those others are gone, and the Jews survive. Where is the Holy Roman Empire? Where are the Druids, the Etruscans, and the Gauls? Where is the Austro-Hungarian Empire? Where is the Ottoman Empire? All gone. Soviet Union. Bye-bye. Only the Jews survive. And that enrages too many people in the human race. It angers them deeply because it plants the seed that maybe, just maybe, the Jews are the chosen people, which means there really is a God, as they claim, who wants man to choose good over evil, prefer mercy over cruelty and sadism. Well, what is behind the Israel Apartheid Week festivals, some of them now 2 weeks long, if not the same accusation in a different form? It's the old UN 1975 resolution, Zionism is a form of racism. That was the exact language of that notorious UN General Assembly Resolution 3379. Translated, it was Jewish national feeling and efforts on behalf of the Jewish nation by Jews are inherently racist. Jewish patriotism is a racist endeavor. Other nations can be patriotic, but not the Jews. Jewish national fellowfeeing is a racist a process because it's exclusionary. Early in 1948, there were already 6 or 7 independent Arab states to come into being since the First World War, but no Jewish state. Then in May of that year, the Jews declared independence. So now there were 6 officially Arab states and 1 officially Jewish state. And here we are 67 years later. There's still only 1 Jewish state, but now 21 officially Arab Muslim states, and the international consensus is that the Arabs still don't have enough states. And Israel greedily refuses to hand over land that really belongs to the primeval Palestinians. And it's okay for the Arabs to have, it's not okay for the Arabs to have just 21 officially Arab states, while the Jewish desire for one state is inherently racist, because it's just for Jews. The Arabs can have 21, even 22 states that are officially Arab, but for the Jews to have one state, well, no, that's racism. Every nation on the planet makes a distinction between members of the nation and everybody else on the planet. The former are called citizens, and the latter are called aliens. The word in Hebrew for aliens is a goy. Goyim. When a Jew complains, for example, that a goy tried to murder him, he's accused of using an insulting term when it's not. He's just saying a non-Jew, an alien, not a member of the nation. Israelis are the first Jewish community, on the other hand, in Jewish history, that does not use the term goy. And this is symptomatic of their deep identity crisis, which is far more serious even than that of Alexander Portnoy. This rabid anti-Jew on my book's Amazon page revealed himself, at least to me, as most livid at Israel for our alleged crimes against the ancient ones, and revealed himself as a slave of the words racist and racism. And in this, I now hear, thanks to his mental derangement, echoes of what my friend in London in a pub years ago told me in describing anti-Semitism in his posh British circles. You lot stick together. My response to him was, why not? We like each other. There's a great heritage to maintain. And in a sea of hostility, it's nice to have friends. In other words, this British variety of genteel anti-Jewism was not, and is not, based on the deicide charge or latter-day crackpot theories of the Jews' racial and biological inferiority. There used to be a time when people said Jews had a certain smell. Now it's, you lot don't assimilate. You don't shed your Jewish identity, but you keep it alive and therefore preserve your separate identity and community that is different from the larger community. It bothers anti-Jews that we don't assimilate completely and thereby disappear the way of the classical Greeks and Romans. Jewish national identity is inherently offensive to anti-Jews. It makes them angry. Look what happened the other day when Michelle Bachmann stunned Jews who know her as an enthusiastic supporter and lover of Israel. She said something like, I don't know, the second coming is coming, and everybody's got to get on the bandwagon, or words to that effect, including the Jews, she said, meaning she wants us all to convert, too. How to respond to this, or even understand this, I'm not sure. There was video of her on YouTube, I think, speechifying for over an hour, so warmly about Israel. So I doubt that she understands that what she's wishing for is the same thing Adolf Hitler wished for. She wishes to see all Jews convert. She wants a world of no Jews. I'd rather believe that for all her affection and support for Israel, she spent a summer here after high school, I think, on a kibbutz and loved it. She's just not aware that Jews experience the desire by Christians to convert us as a major aggression that we do not like. When I was at Ahud Sheva and occasionally got email from Christians trying to convert me, I could only write back that in my eyes, Christian missionaries are in the same category as exterminationist Nazis. Both want to see a world without Jews.
Raza de Shabbas, Shabbas, Yihi Shabbas, Tesach Hadas, Beraza de Echa, Beraza de Echa, Mishrei Alarza de Echa. Raza de Shabbas, Yihi Shabbas, Yihi Shabbas, Tesach Hadas, Beraza de Echa, Beraza de Echa, Mishrei Alarza de Echa. Tzilai Sadi Malei Shabsa, Kira Kadisha Yakira Kadisha Shabbat.
So back to the news here and the latest Jew killings today. Five in all, I think. I hope to see the families, as I say, of the murderers out of the country instantaneously, and it's about time for Israel to crack down as well on the PA. The government just declared this week the Islamic Movement, the Northern Branch, an illegal organization and shut it down, and it's time to take action against the moderate, peace-loving Fatah Jew haters. PMW reported yesterday that a member of the Fatah Central Committee at a rally honoring the murderer who stabbed not one but two young rabbis to death and plunged his blade into the neck of a Rebbetzin before being killed himself said, "It is right for our young men to cause Israeli women to cry." This was Mohand Halabi. This Fatah guy says he is a role model for the generations to come. And this the PA had already named a street for this murderer, and now they have built a memorial on it to him as well. Any reporting of this in the PA media, I think, should result in the shutting down of that media. Would the enlightened protest as violation of free speech? Yes, and so what? Israel would then reply that in the land of Israel, the sole property of the Jewish people, the government will not tolerate such abuse of free speech. As no civilized society allows for incitement to murder via speech, as it does not allow for crying fire in a crowded theater as a joke, so the government of Israel will not tolerate using the news media, electronic or print, to praise murderers and thereby incite others to become murderers too. And if the PA in its newspapers print anything like this, those newspapers should be shut down. Likewise, the PA TV and PA radio. The time is also very ripe for such a move in light of the ISIS massacre last Friday in Paris and the waves it has created. One most positive result to come from that horror is the clearing away of the cobwebs in the brain for those who, to date, still do not understand just who Barack Hussein Obama is, starting with the fact that he's named for the second martyr in Islam, Hussein ibn Ali, who was assassinated just like his father. This is a president in the United States who publicly addressed the Muslim Brotherhood in Cairo and said the call to prayer from the minaret is one of the most beautiful sounds, versus my opinion, which is the muezzin or azan. Sounds like a hungry, braying, wild jackass of a man whose wailing grates on my ears. This is a U.S. president who oversaw the toppling of the by-then docile Gaddafi and the friendly Pharaoh Mubarak in Egypt and the replacement of both of them by the Muslim Brotherhood. And now with this press conference in Antalya after the horror in Paris exposing him further, a lot more people can no longer fool themselves about this man. He's on the other side. He identifies with Muslims and agrees with them that in the relationship to the United States, they have been abused. That is why he went on his apology tour. Even after the horror in Paris, this anti-American, Islam-loving communist still could not speak the words Islam and Muslim. That is his, evidently, holy of holies in the deepest core of his being. No matter what happens, he will say nothing against Islam. After the mass head chopping last winter, he raised the Crusades to wag his finger at Christians. And of course, ignored the truth that the Crusades were launched just like today because Muslims were murdering Christians in Terra Sancta, as they call it at the time. Not that Obama is the only politician whose vocabulary needs refurbishing. Yesterday, the Jerusalem Post held its diplomatic conference, as they call it. It's no conference, just a stage for speeches by different politicians and journalists expressing their opinions. Prime Minister Netanyahu, replying to the recent anti-Jew comments of Sweden's foreign ministress, he said there is a battle in the Arab world between modernity and early medievalism. There's also a century-old struggle between Jewish and Palestinian nationalism, with the Palestinians refusing to accept that Israel is the homeland of the Jewish people, close quote. And I only can say, there he goes again, this secular Sabra, left or right, doesn't matter, who cannot see our situation through the prism of religion. As I argue in my book, Israelis like him are as responsible for inventing the Palestinians as the enemy. They are desperate for the Arabs here to act like a fellow nation, when clearly they're not. Historically, and as I argued in a J-Post op-ed a few weeks ago, there was no Palestinian nationalism a century ago. Israelis like Bibi think that the conflict with the Palestinians dates to 1897 and the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland, convened and chaired by Dr. Herzl himself. Bibi also spoke like Obama, almost, using another dubious expression. But first, some music.
Ani kino.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So in his speech yesterday at the J-Post conference, Prime Minister Netanyahu whined, as usual, that Palestinian refusal to accept Israel as a Jewish homeland is the obstacle to peace, and he added that the Palestinian people who live in Gaza are now governed by, quote, militant Islamists. And I say, not only should he not call these Arabs Palestinians, their rulers are not militant Islamists. The other evening on a webcast, I protested against the words Islamist and Islamism, and I also object to the word militant. The history of that word in the story of the last half century tells a tale. Militant is a cousin of military and should never be used to describe the Arabs, who are violent against us because they're not soldiers, but terrorists intent upon spreading terror among civilians by murdering them at random. Militant was introduced into the glossary of terms when discussing Israel and our fight for survival in order to displace the term terrorist. In my book, there are examples of how in the 1950s and early 60s, the New York Times wrote of Arab terrorists to describe Arab terrorists. But after the Six-Day War, the Times began to place the word terrorist in quotation marks in order to indicate to the reader that an Israeli government source reporting on an Arab terrorist attack used the term terrorist, not the New York Times. It was a signal to the PLO that the Times itself did not think their freedom fighters were terrorists. In fairness to the Times, they're also trying to protect their men in the field who could lose their lives by insulting the PLO with the improper use of language. And then over time, even that word terrorist was discarded for the current militants. These are murderers in cold blood. And if their victims are Jews in Israel, they're no longer terrorists, but militants. Hence, Prime Minister Bibi yesterday spoke of militant Islamists. I would prefer him to speak of homicidal Muslim maniacs. Prime Minister also called on the international community to fight radical Islamist terrorism like it once fought Nazism. Radical Islamist terrorism, he said, when, as I noted in an earlier webcast, radical Islam is real Islam. It's in its roots that way. Radicals are not outliers, but the true defenders of the faith. A faith that is distinguished by a belief in the rightness of believers murdering people who don't believe that Muhammad was the greatest prophet of all. So-called radical Islamists are not Islamists, but just Muslims. And their rootedness in the root of Islam makes them belligerent Muslims, from the Latin word bellum for war. I think belligerent Muslim is better than radical Islamist, meaning Muslims for whom homicidal violence is an act of the purest religious piety.
Taiti, taiti, kese ove. Taiti, taiti, kese ove. Taiti, oi taiti, kese oved. Taiti, taiti, kese oved. Taiti, taiti, kese oved. Taiti, oi taiti, kese ove, kese ove, בקש עבדך, כי מצוותך לא שכחתי. בקש עבדך, כי מצוותך לא שכחתי. טעיתי, טעיתי, כסא עובד. טעיתי, טעיתי, כסא עובד. טעיתי, אוי טעיתי, כסא עובד, כסא עובד. בקש עבדך, כי מצוותך שכחתי. בקש עבדך, כי מצוותך לא שכחתי.
A last thought. This morning's newspapers portrayed Europe as being on edge, as if waiting for the next horror to erupt, especially in France. Tensions very high. Well, let's hope not, but there is meaning, perhaps, in the tension there. The country that, more than the Brits and the Germans, has been so warm to the Palestinians and tolerant of their violence against Jews. France was the first in Europe to recognize the PLO as a legitimate organization. The standard bearer for the PLO in the European community, France has been, up to the present, with numerous UN and other votes by a France hostile to Israel. What goes around comes around. Mida keneged mida, measure for measure. How ironic that this country, most hospitable to the monsters in the PLO, is now quaking in their boots and berets as the victims of Arab Muslims, who are as Arab Muslim as those in the PLO. For decades now, the French and the Italians and others in Europe have thought that by coddling this generation's Jew killers, these Arabs, these Muslims, they would buy themselves protection. Feed them the Jews and everything would be okay. Well, it seems the chickens, if not the coq au vin, then the coq au sang, the chickens, if not in wine and blood, are coming home to roost. Okay, that's it for this week. Bloody week, bloody day. Laila tova, Shabbat shalom, Eretz Yisrael.